and welcome to Two Dudes Podcast, or should I say Ashton and Lacey's podcast. And make sure you stay tuned and have an awesome day. Thank you.
Okay, mine's recording.
I am too.
I am too.
Hell yeah. We got a guest star up in here.
Hi, Sid.
Hi.
What's up?
I'm Sid. I'm Ashton's sister, and we're going to talk about self-love today.
Yeah.
So it feels like we've spent a whole bunch of time talking about mental health and self-love and like all this other stuff since we started that we needed like a new voice and a different perspective. So Sid has been on her own, like, journey. Is that what we're going to call it? Oh, yeah. Self-love journey.
They're all journeys, baby.
Sid's been on her own journey. Yeah. So we're just going to talk through some of that because it's kind of funny how every time we talk about some of this stuff, Ashton and I always have things that are the same and then things that are different. And I feel like we both have things that are similar to what you have gone through and then also different. So it just makes it relatable on a different level. Mm-hmm. So
for sure.
Right on. So where are we going to start?
Okay. Before we go anywhere, I need a backstory of 2 points to make this whole thing go full circle, I think. So one, I have never had the ideal body image that society says, like, I was born thick, I'm going to be thick the rest of my life. And two, I don't really know how to say this one, you guys are going to have to help. Like, whether it's my family or friends, I've just always been the dumb one. Like, I don't know how to describe it.
Oh, shut up.
Like, you guys know what I'm saying.
My heart hurt.
No, but you guys know what I'm saying.
Yeah. Okay, but I think it's not,
I don't think dumb is the right word. It's like,
no,
we've always, you know how like people make fun of like, okay, people will be like, Aubrey's the loud one or the naughty one. Or it's always been like, you've always made it a point to be like, I'm the worst speller. Like you're the.
I am illiterate. That is what I am. Like I am.
And it doesn't help that Ashton makes fun of you all the fucking time about it in text messages.
Yeah.
So.
ongoing joke is that somehow Cindy's phone doesn't have autocorrect. Like what usually it corrects it. It's like you butcher words so badly. See, I'm just proving what Lacey said. I always make fun of you for spelling bad. 100%. But it's not that, like, when we say you spell bad, like, that is very different than, like, you being dumb. Like, that.
No, yeah, okay. Yeah. I meant that, like, in a joking term, not necessarily. Yeah. Which, it literally has always been a joke and never, like, been something that, like, really affected me until I'll get to this later. But, like, in high school, I had to go to the office one day and they're like, you need to tell us if someone's bullying you. And I was like, I have no fucking clue what you're talking about. And they made me go out to my car and my friends wrote, here she comes to Sylvan and the number for Sylvan because I was going to the Sylvan Learning Center.
Oh, yeah,
and like, it's just like, people just joked about it. Like, yes, I am illiterate, but like, it was just always a joke. So, but okay, I'll just go full circle then. So like, both of these things have always been a proponent of my life, but like, never really affected me. I just was who I was. Like, I come off as a very confident person. Then I started grad school, which would be the spiraling start of it all. So I started, well, my first anatomy test was like a month into school, and I literally started studying the day we started the class. Like, for a whole month, I studied more than I'd ever had for a test, and I get to the test and I get a fucking 50% on it. And I was like, how, like, I just studied so much. I can't continue to study that much for every test, like, with my schedule and everything. Like, there's no way I can get through this program. And then that's when the self-doubt started happening of, like, I'm not smart enough to be a doctor, get my doctorate, I'm not capable of this, all this kind of shit. So then that, like, kind of continued to be the thing my first semester of, like, no matter how hard I studied, I didn't do well on tests. And it was almost like in undergrad, I did well because I could memorize something, but then grad school was that additional component of applying it, and that's where I struggled. So it was like, I totally needed to figure or rechange how I learned and how I figured all that out, which I eventually did get to. But for a long time, I like didn't see the future in that. I was like, I'm never going to make it through this program. I applied to interior design programs because I thought I was going to fail. Like,
you did?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah, I don't know that many people did, but yeah, I was like, there's no way I'm passing this program. Like,
okay, so this is through first semester and then yeah. also first year or
like, well, this how is like long? First semester right here. And then I didn't really understand how much just like school was then affecting the rest of my life. And then I came home, okay. I don't know when I came home, sometime, and I was sitting on the couch with Ashton and Lex, and they're like, could tell I was down and said, like, Ashton said, tell me 10 things you love about yourself. And I literally was like, I can't say a single one. And she's like, are you fucking kidding me? Tell me something you love about yourself. And all I could say was, I have pretty hair and good eyes, or good eyes.
I remember that.
Or something like that. And she's like, shut the fuck up. And then she spieled all these off. So, like, I already knew, I'm going to give you a run for your money of who can get to a two quicker here, but I already knew that, like, I was starting to spiral down, but I could not see anything forward, like, with my program if I didn't give 100% of myself to school. So for the next year, I did that and, like, neglected working on myself, which then just continued to downhill spiral, which was also, like,
okay. health or mental health, things like that. Yeah. You were neglecting those things to get good grades.
So, yes. Ashton, how did you know what did you recognize when you asked Sid that? Like, how did you know that there was something happening?
Well, it's so weird. I totally remember that story. And Cindy, you were like home for break or something. And I don't remember how it came about. I think you, Cindy, were like, I heard you talking to me and Lexi on the couch and you were like, I'm going to fail this test. And like, I'm so dumb. And I like, don't have, and it was like this like I heard you speak super negatively about yourself, and like I do the same thing, and like I know that like when I start saying those things to myself, I can like recognize that I'm in a really bad place. And so I was like, no, I think that was also when I told you I would like buy you a pair of Lulus if you like pass this test, remember?
Yes. Me and Lexi yes, did that? You yeah. did. Yes.
So I was like full blown, like, it's funny because you're my older sister, but I felt like just fucking so protective. I was like, no, like, we're changing this. You are passing your test tomorrow. If you pass your test, like, I'm buying you a pair of Lulus. And Lexi was like, me too. Like, I'll pitch in too. Like, the classic Lexi, like, she's a hype woman. But I think at this same time, I had either like read a book or listened to a podcast that, and I've even like thought of me and you, Lacey, like diving into this of, it was something of like, okay, tell me 10 things you hate about yourself. And like, I could list off 50. And then it's like, okay, well, tell me 10 things you love about yourself and like how hard it is. And even like, I know I struggle with that, but at that time, even though I could pick like 50 things I hated about myself, I could still list off like 8 at least of things I loved. And Sydney, you like said none. Or yeah, you said like, I have good hair and pretty eyes. And I was like, what? Like, you are like so responsible, way more responsible than I am. Like, you are so kind. You're fucking mom's favorite. Like, I just gave you a solid list. And I was like, you need to change. Like, I remember, yeah, I totally remember that conversation. And it was the way I saw it was because I heard the negative talk that, and I recognize that that is not a good place to be in for anyone.
Definitely. So when she said that to you, you were able to see that, Sid, or were you able to see it and then also be like, I can't fucking do this right now?
Yes, I saw okay. it, but I like didn't have the mental capacity to also worry about that.
Okay, so you,
okay, I also this need to happens, go back, it, I need to go back to one more thing of like, just to put into perspective why I didn't think I was getting through this program. So my program says that you can have 12 credits of C's before you get kicked out. I got a C in anatomy in another class, which happened to be a 6 and a 4 credit class. So my first semester, 10 of my 18 credits were a C. And then I was looking at it like, I can get 2 more out of 112 credits still. Like that percentage ratio, like, you know, I was like, what? There's no fucking way I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's when I started applying to interior design programs because I was like, no fucking way I'm getting through this. Which then now looking back to, like, I was setting myself up for failure in the beginning of not thinking like I was capable of getting that degree, you know, where like if I just went in confident and like, I'm going to fucking do this, it would have probably had a different outcome.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
But it didn't. So now here we are.
We talked last week that manifesting, like you were the thoughts yes. you tell yourself, like you were telling yourself, like, I'm going to fail. I can't do this. And then you're mm-hmm. right. Versus like if you shifted your mindset and were like, no, I can.
Yeah, I was literally just listening to that this morning and thinking like it would tie in perfectly to this one. So, yes. Okay. So then I don't know, just the whole next year was 2020. So like COVID and everything that was happening with that. Then I was home. But if we weren't doing homework, we were drinking and we were stupid during quarantine. And again, neglecting any mental health responsibilities. And then I would say like that was kind of just continuing to spiral down. But where I was like, oh my God, I'm at my lowest low. Like, I cannot keep doing this was right when we were coming back from Jackson because Ashton had a bunch of brands that she had to shoot when we were in Jackson. So for 3 days, we just took pictures. And when you don't love yourself and you're just taking pictures, it's like exhausting. Mm-hmm.
So that is like one of the things that I really wanted to ask you about because I feel like it's really hard to be in a family with a bunch of photographers who want to take pictures all the time. And it's something that I really struggle with too. And then everyone, I feel like it gets annoyed because I like don't want to take pictures, but it's not because like, I don't love your job. It's mm-hmm. like, I don't really love myself. Yeah. And I don't want pictures of me like fucking posted all over the place or like whatever. And I can't imagine like for you too, like just when you're in a place like that to have to like go play a game to pretend. I mean, it's a lot of, it just hurts my heart because it's hard.
Yeah. But so like, it's hard. But it's even like when we were in Jackson, it was just like what we were doing, taking pictures. It was fine. Like it didn't really bother me. And then it was like, once we stopped and we're on the way home, I was like, I am like so emotionally drained and exhausted. Like I knew I needed to make some changes then, but that's like when I was like, I can't fucking keep doing this because mm-hmm. we're gonna keep taking pictures the rest of my fucking life. Both of everybody in my family is fucking photographers.
Fucking so. Everywhere you go. Okay, so this was like at Christmas of this year.
Yes.
Yeah, like January 1st. It was New Year's.
Or, I mean last year.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, then we went back.
So you're driving back. Yep. Okay, go ahead.
And I'm like in a car, so obviously can't cry, you know, in front of everybody because no one knows, you know. So then
I just say that is like the worst feeling, like when you have hit
for 10
like,
fucking hours.
Yeah, I remember like the times I was like the absolute lowest of the low at college, and it also happened to be like the same time my roommate was home, and I'm like holding in tears. It's like that feeling in your throat, like when you want to cry and you can't, and it just makes it 10 times worse. And then you're like in your head, you have time to think, but like you can't let it out. It's like the worst feeling.
Yeah.
So I'm so sorry.
Well, yeah. And then this is funny looking back at it now, but then once we got home, like I just went to my room and started crying. And then mom's like, you need to come help unpack. And then I came out. And in the meantime, I got a stain on my bridesmaid's dress for Maddie's wedding. And then I just started crying. Like, I couldn't stop. And I blamed it on the stain. And mom's like, dude, it's a stain that the dry cleaners can get out. Like, stop fucking crying. Ugh. And, like, I was like, obviously not why, you know, but blamed it on that. Then I was going back to school the next day. So I literally got up at 5:30, tried to get on the road. But then mom stopped me and is like, literally tell me what's wrong. So I talked to her a little bit and then got on the road and cried the whole way to Vermilion. But the
I want to know what you said to your mom.
Well, it was very minimal conversation of like, I didn't really want to talk about it then. I was just struggling mm-hmm. to see my worth and with body image and all this stuff. And like, mm-hmm. it was pretty brief. And then I hopped on the road mm-hmm. and cried the whole way to Vermilion. But I could finally see the end of school. So I knew like I had the energy to work on myself. And like, mm-hmm. I had one semester left in a classroom. I had finished the last 4 semesters with getting no C's. Like, I knew I was going to finish and finally, mm-hmm. like, had the time to work on myself. So this mm-hmm. would then
and
be...
hope.
Yes. So then this would then be, like, when I start implementing things to get to, like, loving myself again.
So I want to say one thing. I think it's so common. And I think so many people can relate to being in a position where it's like you are so overwhelmed with school or whatever it is that like you feel like you neglect your mental health, your physical health. Like I
was like had such a heavy course load of like, I'm not going to pass these classes if I don't study constantly, that I also then like wasn't hanging out with friends or like that I needed that and like didn't have the opportunity to do that. And like literally for 2 years, I just learned about how occupational balance is a direct determinant of health and well-being, but I couldn't figure out how to implement that in my life. Like I could tell you how to implement that in your life, but to actually do it into my life, like I couldn't figure
it out.
It's
so hard. Yeah.
Okay. So then what happens?
Okay. Then I figure out I need to make a change and I feel like I have the mental capacity to do it. There's like quite a few different things that I then implemented into my life, and the overlying theme of them all would be like just a shift in mindset of stopping to like, I was consumed by negative thoughts and stopping those and switching it to a positive. So like one of the first
things. How do you do that?
Well, let me tell ya. So one of the first, it's hard and I'm still not even like good at it, perfect at it, but I'm better at it. So one of the first things that I did was every morning I started writing in a journal 10 things that I was grateful for, 10 affirmations, and then 3 manifestations. And I felt like that was like a huge game changer for me to just like start my day with positives.
Okay, so tell me what an affirmation would, like 10 things you're grateful for, I get. And I think that also that this is something that is so simple and people say it, but it's like actually until you start fucking making yourself do it, that it changes. And it's
and
like
you have to set aside time for it. It's like, are you going to push snooze or are you going to get up and spend 7 minutes on yourself?
Exactly.
It's literally what it comes down to.
So yeah, 10 things you're grateful for. Yeah.
Like and then things you love about yourself. Like, exactly what you told me to do. Like, tell me 10 things you love about yourself. Like, I just started writing that down from the start every morning and trying to, like, shift that mindset to looking at the good things about myself and not the negative things.
Okay, so you started, after you get back to Verm and you, like, cry the whole way back and you're like, okay, I have to fucking change this. You just start right away, like, the next day you get up and you start doing this?
Yes. I was going back after Christmas break for a semester. So it was like, if I don't start right away, I'm not going to make a change in the middle of the semester, you know, type thing of like, I needed to start and just go through with it. Then I also needed to like debunk the things that I had been telling myself that I made myself believe and like figure out why those weren't true. So I wrote down, like, I was literally looking at it earlier and it was like, I'm too fat to be pretty or I'm too fat for someone to love me. And like, so, like, I needed to write those out and figure out, like, why the fuck was I thinking that? But then go forward with, like, that's not fucking true.
So how did you do that?
Well, I just wrote that out. Oh. But then, like, I feel once I, like, wrote that out and was, like, realized
seeing
how
it on
stupid
paper
that was.
Seemed how ridiculous that was.
Yes. Then it, like, wasn't.
But it's hard when it's, that's your narrative in your head for so long. Like, it becomes, like, you say it 100 times. That then, like, once you write it down, you're like, that, how could I think or write something so terribly? But it's like, until you, like, take a step out of your shoes, because you told yourself that for however long. But it sounds ridiculous when you, it was like when me and you sat down and I was like, tell me 10 things you love about yourself. And you're like, I have, like, pretty eyes and pretty hair. And I was like, what? Do you hear yourself right now? But, like, it, until you take a step back and, like, write it out or realize it, you don't, because you're so stuck in telling yourself that for how years or however long, you know?
Dude, I think the idea of writing that stuff down is really scary. So I think that you are brave to even be able to verbalize it yourself, because I think there's a lot of stuff that we all tell ourselves that we would have a hard time like actually looking at. So that's like, whew, that's pretty intense.
It's like, well, even what Ashton said, like writing them down made me realize like it was fucking stupid. Like, why was I letting myself believe that? So yeah, honestly, I feel like once I wrote those kind of things down, yes, I think it was like freeing and was like, you don't need to carry that because it's not even true. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't just writing it down. It was like, what led me to think that? And then why it wasn't true. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, both mm-hmm. sides of that. I think if I just, like, wrote it down and didn't really reflect on it, probably wouldn't have done much. But, like, the other
two parts of it. It'd be the same as you telling it to yourself every day for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so you did the journaling, and then you did the journaling every day, and then you did the, you wrote down the shitty things you'd been telling yourself, and then where are we at?
I think this one was probably, like, what made the biggest change, and I literally saw this on TikTok, of, like, understanding when you say a negative thing about yourself that you are in a mind-body connection. Like, your mind is thinking about things about your body, and understanding that, but then flipping it to a positive. So, like, when I would think of a negative thing, I would understand that I was, like, connecting. I was understanding that, but stopping it right there and then telling myself a positive, like, every single time that happened, I would try to do that until it literally just became habitual. And, like, I started telling myself positive things instead of telling myself negative things. Or, like, on all my mirrors, I had little notes of, like, you are beautiful, you are powerful, you are smart, like, those kind of things. And, like, mm-hmm. the second I woke up in the morning, if I didn't journal right away, I would go to the bathroom mirror and I'd see that. Like, those constant reminders until I actually believed it myself really helped me.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So this is so fucking dumb. I don't even know if I want to even tell this story.
Well, now you have to.
For like so long, I've been working out so hard for like since before the pandemic, probably. So mm-hmm. for over a year, and I just kept gaining weight, and it made me so sad. It was honestly in like the last like 3 months that I finally was like, so my Peloton trainers, you know, they like for so long, like I would do these workouts and I would be like, these bitches are just so annoying. Like they're so positive and they keep telling me I'm an athlete and I'm like just this fat fucking mom that can't do this stuff. And then finally one day I was like, this is so bad. Like we do this podcast and we talk about liking yourself and like, I have a really hard time doing that. And I finally was like, I told Adam, I was like, I'm a fucking athlete. And I started like liking the people when they were doing the workouts. I was like, yeah, I can do this and I'm strong. And it felt so corny at first. And it's like almost once I started like dancing when they said to dance, instead of being like, that's so dumb. Mm-hmm. Why don't you just work out? And it was like in the last 3 months that I finally have also started to lose weight, and it had been like a fucking year, but it almost was like once, you know, like they tell you about stress and they tell you about holding on to it and you like don't believe it really. You're like, yeah, yeah, that's bullshit. I'm still working out. It should still go away. And it like that mind body connection that you were talking about is so like your brain is in this pattern of like holding onto stuff because it's stressed and you're constantly in a bad pattern. And once you can finally flip that, it was like life changing for me because it was finally like, fuck yeah, I can do this. And for so long, it was like, okay, I'm just here to play along.
So I have the funniest story that plays off of this, and it just happened last night. Like, I don't know. So me and Connor have been watching How to Get Away with Murder, and, like, we're on, like, season 3. We're so deep into this. And last night we were watching one of the episodes, and one of the girls was, like, applying for law school with her boyfriend, and they were sitting on the bed, and he, like, had this bad attitude of, like, well, I'm not going to get into law school. And she was like, no, you need a change. And she's like, say beast mode. And he was like, beast mode. And she was like, no, beast mode. And he like said it back. Well, so then fast forward to this morning, and I get this, like, I already told Lacey about this. I got this freaking email from some whatever coming after my contract. And I was like, I can't respond to this guy. He's like a football agent. And he's like telling me my pricing is wrong and whatever, trying to book this wedding. And I was like, I just need, like, I can't, whatever. And Connor came in and he was like, say beast mode. And I was like, beast mode. And we did it back and forth like 4 times. And I sent the most like straightforward professional email I've ever sent. But it was like, just literally like, look at yourself in the mirror and be like, beast mode. And then I was like, I can fucking do this, dude. Like, I can do this.
Yes. And it's so fucking cheesy, but it's like, they just kept being like, you're an athlete. And all the time I was like, I'm not a fucking athlete.
This is so dumb. Yeah.
I'm so out of shape and gross. And then finally I was like, fuck yeah, I'm an athlete. I'm getting on the bike. I'm like, who cares? It's like a word. And just saying that changed so much, but not enough where I feel like I'm past it, because I still feel like I'm in the 50-50 any given day. But at least it's like trending upwards. So, but now I'm just gonna beast mode in front of the mirror.
Just take C4 and beast mode yourself. Okay, so Sid, if you have somewhere else to take this, or like you haven't finished part of your story. But I also think, like, you've talked now of, like, how you, like, got to a point where school wasn't so stressful. And so you could, like, focus on your mental health or well-being. And, like, you switched your narrative to, like, things I hate versus things I love. But something you had also mentioned at the beginning was, like, you said, I'm going to preface, like, I've always been, like, a thick girl. And so how has then this transformed into, like, your physical health, or how you've viewed that differently?
Yeah, well, there's a couple components to that. And like, also, even when I was like so stressed with school, I still knew I needed to work out, like, for my own mental health. That is something I continue to do, but it was almost like a punishment. And I've changed that now to, like, I look forward to working out, which has changed. And then also said fuck it to diet culture, and literally I was just like listening to my body and eating what I want to eat when I want to eat has been a total game changer too. Like, I was trying to think of, like, how long I've been on a diet. And I remember getting a fucking coupon ticket in Little League Baseball and getting a pickle while everyone else was getting ice cream because it was zero calories. Like, I would have been 12. So it's literally always been, like, during quarantine, I was, like, intermittent fasting and eating whole foods and all this shit, like, anything you can possibly do. And I was never losing weight. And then I said, fuck it, and I'm losing weight. Like, the same thing that you said. It was like, as soon as you change that shift in your mind of, like, I, no matter what I eat, it's still giving my body energy and nutrition. And like,
and fuck, from the time you're 12 till now is like such a hard.
Another thing too for me, which like isn't necessarily going to be the same for everybody, but like, I feel like, when I knew I needed to go to the gym, like, for my mental health, I was, like, making myself suffer through some cardio or some shit. And I started lifting, and it was, like, a game changer for me of, like, understanding how strong I was. Like, yeah, my thighs are fucking thick, but I wouldn't squat what I squat if I didn't have these thighs. Like, that shift was also huge for me. Don't make working out, like, a punishment. Make it a reward. And, like, something that you get to do, and something that, find what it is that you like until it is rewarding and enjoyable.
So where do you feel like you're at right now?
I love myself. I know that. And I look at myself and I know, like, I'm beautiful and strong and, like, and I might look in the mirror and I am fucking smart. I'm less than a year away from being a doctor. So, yeah, I'm fucking smart. But
I'm a dropout. I mean,
no, it's not like perfect. I don't like look every once in a while. I might look at myself in the mirror and be like, oh, I fucking have cellulite. But I tell myself that once for every like five times. I'm like, damn, your ass looks nice, or something like that. You know, it's like all about perspective. Like,
it is.
I feel like just listening to you say all this stuff has made me realize like all this stuff that I should probably do a little bit better on.
Well, even like I post all the time, like, I'm always taking pictures how you were saying, Sydney, but, like, and I'm not comparing, like, our journeys, like, our journeys are very different, but I also, like, while you're saying that, like, even, like, how I talk about myself around the apartment, like, I literally say I'm ugly, like, 100 times a day, like, even when I opened this FaceTime, I was like, I'm so ugly, I say it 500, like, 500
times
a week.
You've lost, like, 20 pounds, and you still look at yourself in the mirror and say you're fat, like, you're not. You need to
know,
love
but
yourself
I tell myself that, and like, it's so hard to get out of the spiral. And like I said, like, I'm not comparing my journey to yours in any sense, but like, I tell Connor like every day, I'm like, I can't wear these pants. Like, I look fat, or like, I look ugly. And he's like, why do you say those things? I'm like, because then like, I tell myself that all the time. And even though it may look like I'm really confident and I post pictures all the time, like, that really isn't the case.
Well, I think that what you just said is like highlights this whole thing. Like, we talk about all of this stuff, and we, the two of us together, have avoided doing anything on body image because we pretended that we didn't need to talk about it. And I think it was just easier than actually talking about it.
Yeah.
Because I think that there is a lot of stuff that plays into how you feel about yourself in general. And I literally, I don't know the last time that I looked in a mirror and wasn't like, ugh, you look so gross. And that's kind of sad.
I think we're on journeys enough with our like anxiety and mental health. And I feel like I'm at a place where I can like give advice or feel hopeful about it. And I do think in the last, like, since like the 2021, like, I've taken my health and my body like into, like, I've really taken care of my body more so in the last 6 months than I have like in the last 6 years. So I do feel like I'm like at a more healthy place, but I also feel like the reason that I'm like, I've told or said to you, like, I know body positivity is something we should talk about, but I'm like, I still tell myself like I'm fat. Like, I literally think I'm fat, and I literally lost 20 pounds and I still say I'm fat all the time. And so then I'm like, well, I can't go and talk about body positivity because I have some internal things that I need to figure out before.
And you didn't even need to lose those 20 pounds to not think you're fat.
You're right. Too. So like, I just needed a therapy session with Sid for me to be like, we need to fix this. Like,
well, I mean, it's, we've talked about doing like video recording the podcast, and we haven't because neither one of us feel like we can be on camera. Like, that's a thing. Yeah. Well, okay. Like, so I've got like a list of fucking shit I have to do now. Yeah. Like, affirmations, manifestations. Okay.
You have more tips?
No, I got three things that like help me put myself back into perspective of understanding that literally, like, if I'm out and I'm like, oh my God, I look so gross right now, no one else is thinking that. They're thinking about their own insecurities, if anything, not my own. Like, everybody has fucking insecurities. They're not worried about yours. So get out of your head that people are thinking, like, your outfit isn't cute or you're ugly or something, because they're literally not fucking thinking that. No
okay,
one
so
is.
One thing I want to add to this, like, so I also, like, I've told you, I say, like, I 500 times a day, I'm like, oh my God, I'm so ugly. I look so ugly. And one thing, like, living with twins, like, really shifted my, like, or helped me with this. But I remember, like, when I lived at my apartment with twins, and they would do the same thing. And, like, Lexi would be like, I look so ugly right now. Or Avery would be like, I look so ugly right now. And I was like, what are you talking about? Like, no, you don't. Like, you do not look ugly. Like, you look the exact same, or like, you look pretty. And like, once I started to realize, I'm like, every single time the twins say they look ugly, they don't. And so then I need to then carry that. And I was like, every time I think I look ugly, like, I look the same to someone else. Like, even though I look in the mirror and I'm like, my face is breaking out and like, my hair looks ugly, like, people are looking and they don't see that, because I don't see that in other people.
But it hasn't stuck.
Well, because fuck, I was literally gonna say after that, like, but there are times where, like, I actually can be ugly. So
yes,
there so is. There, I swear to God. But
I want to hear the other tips, because you're ahead of us.
Yeah, okay, you're a therapist today, girl.
Leave the session. So my next one is, your body is literally the least interesting thing about you. Like, you guys could gain 100 pounds, and I would still think of you in the exact same way as I do right now. Like, your body does not matter. It's like your personality and the way you love each other. Like, that's what people remember about you. Like, it's not how you look, or like, literally none of that matters.
Amen.
No, well, I think that that is like the, because I don't look at either of you like that, and it's only myself. So it's like, just hearing you say that is like, well, yeah, like, I feel the same about either both of you, mm-hmm. no matter what it is. But it's like such a hard thing to accept yourself. But
mm-hmm. which ties in perfectly to my last one of you would never talk the shit that you talk about yourself about anybody else, and you would never let yourself down, or you would never let anybody else down as much as you let yourself down. And like making yourself a priority was a game changer.
Yeah. Like thinking about how mean I am to myself.
You would never say that shit about anybody else, so why are you saying it about yourself?
No, I feel like
you have to be your number one hype man. You have to be your best hype man, or no one else is going to.
Oh, I think what I like the most about this whole thing is that it's taken you a while to get to this point. And I mean, I like that you've given a plan, because I have to start walking.
Yeah, I was going to say, I have a lot of homework to do. So like, I feel like this whole podcast is like so helpful, because you're like telling us so many things. And at the same time, I'm like realizing like how not a good place I've been with like body image and body positivity, which is like super fucking sad. But one positive, and you like, I thought of this earlier when you said something about being strong, because I do, I literally like in my head think I'm fat, and I say that all the time. And I've always like, I also said, I like, or you kind of made a comment of this, but like all of my friends have always been smaller than me, like twins and a lot, like I have very, very skinny friends. And like, even when I went to a sorority, like everyone in my sorority, like even though like looking back, I wouldn't say like I was fat, like I was easily like, I would say like 20 to 30 pounds heavier than like anyone in my sorority. And like, I also can remember going to a sixth grade dance, and I had my friends over, and I was like, everyone was wearing like a short skirt, and I was like, well, I have to wear pants because like my legs are big. And I have always been so self-conscious of them. And also like in my head, I've always thought, because my friends were so small, I always like, I've said to Connor before, I'm like, I wish I could just change my legs. Like, I wish I could have like small legs that looked cute in dresses and cute in whatever. And it got to the point, like what I said in the last like 6 months, how I've had like, I've just done better with my health, is that like, I started to realize like, I will always have these legs. Like, I will always.
Dude, it's
like,
in our
what
fucking genetics. This is from dad.
Good. Even how like mom, oh my gosh. Okay. This is like, I'm not trying to like throw mom under the bus, but like, she can handle this. That woman for so long used to say that I was only, or like she would always say like I was really good at gymnastics because I had like thunder thighs, or like Bowden thighs is what she called them. And I remember this boy I talked to in high school, he like came over and mom made some comment about like how like gymnastics got brought up, and mom was like, well, she just has like such big Bowden thighs. And I was like, well, now I hate my life, and like I am so embarrassed. But for a long time, I like hated my legs. Well, it got to the point within like the last 6 months where like we were working out, and it was the same thing. I was like, I have strong legs. And it also got to the point where I was like, I will never have those legs. Like, bodies are built different, and like the idea that there is this ideal body is like so absurd. And I like got to a point where I was like, I have been obsessing over having small legs like my entire life, and like we can manifest things, but this is not like, that is never coming true. Like, I will always have like bigger legs. But then it's like embracing that. And honestly, you guys, okay, here's a positive. If you go look at my Instagram, I have been wearing like shorts. Or
yes, guys, I was gonna say something to you like a month ago.
Oh my
like
God, if what, you look, you must be that,
when you went to Arizona.
Yes.
If you like, I swear to God, if you go look at like the last however many years, like I do not wear shorts. Like even when I worked at the slides and we would have like 100 degree days, I would wear like leggings or jeans, and people would be like, why are you wearing those? And I was like, well, I work in sales, like I'm inside. And I was always like so embarrassed when people asked me why I was wearing pants, but it was because I literally hated my legs. But now I'm to the point where like, even though I like hate them sometimes, I've at least made some progress that I'm like, you know what? Like, I lost some weight, like I feel confident, and this will be my body. Like, there's no changing my Bowden thighs. Like, they're there. And they've made me a good athlete, and they've made me strong, and they've all of the things.
Beast mode.
Beast mode.
Okay, well, we have some homework to do.
Love yourself, ladies.
Well, you gave
great
advice.
I don't know if I can.
Yes, you can.
We have to. We tell people all the time on this podcast, like, ways that we think they can better their lives. And we have to take those same steps as well.
I agree.
Ready for this quote I wrote down?
Yes, we love good quotes.
After, well, it's a long one, so my illiterate ass might struggle with this, but we'll see. This was in, after I left home crying after Jackson, mom sent me this in the mail, and this was in it. And it says, "You have a lifetime of practice seeing the beauty in everyone else. You have a lifetime of practice noticing what is whole and wonderful and worthwhile in others. What if for one moment you turned to focus towards yourself? What if you took a little time to let your eyes adjust to the brilliance that is yours? You might find that you are much more than you've been giving yourself credit for. You might find that you are filled with the good things that you see in everyone else. And you might find, to your surprise, that you are filled with so many of the things that you already wished that you were."
Stop, I love it.
That was good.
You already are everything amazing and beautiful. And we look at other people and think we want what they have, but really, we have a lot of it already and just need to be confident in ourselves.
Well, and like, you're so right. Like, I always like see the good in other people. And like, I think people are like so pretty and so smart and so unique and so kind. And it's like, we have to carry that same thought process, like, to ourselves, and like the same kindness and the same respect and the same love that you share to others. You have to give that back to yourself.
Yeah.
You got to be your own hype man.
Mm-hmm. You really do.
No, Sid, that was awesome. I'm so proud of how much things have changed and your mindset changed.
Thank you.
Agree.
Peace out. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Yeah, love you.
Love you.